morning I'll be preaching from Psalm 146. Psalm 146. I believe it's printed on the back of your song sheet. Or I encourage you to take your Bible and follow along there. Psalm 146. Would you stand as we read this passage together? Hear the word of the Lord, Psalm 146, 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have given to us your word. We ask now that you would help us to receive it by faith, that it would be rooted in our hearts, that it would give us hope and strength as we face adversity. May you help us in our time of need, especially when we don't realize that we need your help. I pray that you'll give me the grace to preach faithfully and truthfully, and your people will hear, save the lost, add to your church, and glorify your name. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me give you a definition of hope. Hope is the assurance that help will be available when it's needed. Hope is the confidence, the assurance, the belief, the conviction that when you need help, it's going to be there. At some point, life gets too big. The problems are too much, the issues overwhelm, and we come to the end of ourselves. And when that happens, we need help. If we have assurance that help will arrive in time, we can face adversity with courage and strength. But if we don't have that hope, if we have no hope that help is coming, or that there is no help available, we give in to despair. Psalm 146 is a song celebrating the hope that we have in the Lord. The hope that He is our help in our time of need. We can look for help and put our hope in a couple of different places. Verses 3 and 4, however, warn us off of putting our hope in the wrong place. The Beatles may have sung that all we need is a little help from our friends, but what if our friends can't help? What if our friends are helpless? This is why the psalm warns us against putting our hope in people. You see this in 3 and 4? Don't put your trust in princes. And men, and people, and human beings who cannot save. Don't put your hope in people. A dad decided it was time to teach his son a lesson, so he takes his son to the kitchen and he lifts him up and puts him on top of the refrigerator. And he says, "Son, I want you to jump." And the boy wide-eyed, says, "But Daddy, I'm scared." He says, "Jump, I'll catch you." The boy looks down at his dad. He looks at the floor, and it seems such a long jump, a long way down. But he looks at his dad. He screws up the courage, and he leaps off the refrigerator and lands on the floor. He starts crying, and the dad comes and picks him up and dusts him off, and he says, "Yeah, you're all right, boy." He says, "Listen up, son. Let this be a lesson to you. Never trust anybody." It's pretty harsh. I hope there are people in your life you can trust. I hope that there are people that you can count on. I hope that there are people that when the going gets tough, you can give them a call and they will be there for you when you need them. I hope you don't have somebody like that dad. But there is an important truth that we need to understand. There is a limit to what people can do for us, even the best of people. Even the best of people come to the end of their resources. Verse 3 says, "Don't put your trust in princes." Now, this word for prince is not talking about royalty. It's not talking about the monarch. Rather, it's a word that talks about those who are the noblest of humanity, those who are generous and magnanimous. You know, you've heard the phrase that he's a prince among men. That's what this word is talking about. This person who just stands head and shoulders above everybody else in the community, the one that everybody looks to, the one that everybody can depend on. There are people around us who are like that. They are princes and princesses in our community. You know, we live in such a great community. Friday night, I saw the gymnasium was packed for a fundraiser for J.C. Hill going through her treatments. And it's not just her, but over and over again, we hear of people helping out. And sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's publicized. And sometimes it's just a neighbor helping out a neighbor. And that's wonderful. And I know that many of you do what you can for others. You should do that. We should do that. We're told in Galatians to bear one another's burdens. It's the Christian thing to do. But there comes a time when we're out of resources. There comes a time when the problem is bigger than what we can help with. We do all we can, but sometimes it's not enough. And when you put your trust in princes, when you put your trust in people to help you, they can only help you to a certain point, and then they got nothing left. What are you going to do then? Verse 3 makes it very clear. People cannot save. They cannot deliver. They cannot help you in an ultimate sense. Yet we, time and time again, are depending on other people to fix the deepest problems that we have. We count on our families, don't we? Mom and dad will always be there. They can always bail me out. They can always fix this problem. Or maybe we count on our siblings, brother or sister, or maybe we're counting on our kids to help us whenever things get difficult for us. A lot of folks in our nation today are counting on the government. They're marching on Washington and saying, "Fix this gun problem. Fix the violence in our schools. Solve these issues." And people seem to think that the government has the power, the ability to change the hearts of people. We count on scientists, business leaders. We think if the CEO of CAT can just get his act together, jobs will come back, and the businesses will flourish, and everything is going to work out just fine. Some people hope in their therapists, in their doctors. "Doc, fix this. Make it all better." Some people put their hope in a pill bottle, or in a liquor bottle. Some people put their hope in themselves, their money, their capacity to handle the challenges of their life. We put our hope in princes. We put our hope in people, but their help is limited at best. Eventually, something is going to happen that exposes just how fragile and how finite the help that comes from other people really is. Why? Verse 4 tells us, when their spirits depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Even the very best of us, the most wealthy, the kindest, the biggest-hearted people that you know are limited. They are finite. And the ultimate expression of our limitedness, our finitude, is death. Eventually, they're going to die. And all their best intentions, all their goals, all their aspirations to make life better for you comes to an end, and there's nothing that they can do for you. So if you're putting all your hope in people, even in a particular person, you will be disappointed and frustrated because people cannot save or deliver or help in an ultimate sense. We can make a difference in a temporary sense, but not an ultimate sense. That's why the psalmist calls us to put our hope in the Lord, because He can and He will help. Verse 5, blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. The word for blessed means to be truly happy, to be truly benefited. You are blessed. You are happy. You will not be disappointed. You will not be frustrated when you put your hope in the Lord, because He can and He will help. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. If you want peace of heart and hope in the face of anything, put your confidence, put your faith, put your hope in the Lord. Verse 6 tells us why God is the source of our hope, why you can count on Him unlike other people. Verse 6, He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. God exists above all that is. He's above everything. He's the creator. He's the maker. And He is faithful to care for His creation. You're part of His creation. He says, I'm going to take care of you. Jesus reminds us in the Gospels that there's not a sparrow, a little irritating bird flitting about, that it does not fall to the ground without the Father taking notice. God takes care of the birds. How much more is He going to take care of you? God clothes the hills with splendor and flowers. If God's going to array a flower with beauty, how much more will He take care of you? God loves and cares for His people. He is faithful to care for His creation, especially you and me. And He's forever. Unlike people who die, who are limited in their lives, God has no beginning, no end. He is eternal. Verse 10 reminds us that He reigns forever. Unlike the princes of the world who return to the ground as dust, God is eternal. His reign never ends. His plans never come to nothing because He always sees them through. He always brings them to pass. He always accomplishes His good purposes. This is so very reassuring. God has the power to help. God has the wisdom to help. God has the ability to help. But how do you know He's going to help you? Verses 8 and 9 tell us who God will help. At the end of verse 8, do you see this? The Lord loves the righteous. I love the third verse of the hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. The third verse of that song says, Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with His love He befriend thee. God loves the righteous. He befriends them. What a friend we have in Jesus. So the question is, how do you and I become righteous? How do you and I fall into that category of righteousness so that God is our friend and loves us and helps us? And the answer is, not by our own virtue and merit. Remember what our treasure verse is? For by grace you are saved. How? Through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not what you and I do, it's who we rely upon. 2 Corinthians tells us that God, the Father, made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Why? So that we could be the righteousness of God in Him. We are made righteous in Jesus. Jesus came into this world and He was nailed to a cross. He shed His blood to save you, to make you His, because He loves you. And the Father says, my Son died for you. You better believe I'm going to love you. I'm going to take care of you. You are mine. I bought you with the blood of my Son. If God's going to do that for us, if Jesus is going to do that for us, don't you think He's going to take care of you? You believe that? If Jesus is going to come into this world, leave the glories of heaven, and shed His blood, suffer the penalty of hell for you, don't you think He's going to be with you through the worst that you face in this life? You better believe it. Take heart and have courage, my friend, because God loves the righteous. Friend, this morning, if your faith is in Christ, if you have given your life to Him, you stand as righteous before God. Not because of all the good things that you've done and accumulated and say, hey, Lord, I've deserved this. I deserve your help. You know how many times I've been to church? You know how long I've sat in these hard chairs and I put up with all this? You ought to help me out now. No, that's not how it works. You're righteous because of Christ. And He helps you by virtue of Christ's substitution. So if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you've given your life to Him, God loves you, He's accepted you, and He's going to take care of you. On the other hand, verse 9 warns us that God frustrates the ways of the wicked. If you stand in opposition to the Lord, if you've rejected Christ, if you're trying to make it your own way, that's the definition of wickedness. And the Bible says that God stands opposed to you. You're in opposition to God, and God will frustrate you. He will frustrate your ways. So this morning, if you've not given your life to the Lord, you have no help. You have no hope. The only hope we have is Jesus. So how does God help His people? How does God provide for us? Verses 7 and 9 catalogs the ways that God has helped His people and the ways that we can count on God to help us. Look at these verses. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. Now, think about your Bible stories. Can you think of some examples of God helping the oppressed? What about the children of Israel in slavery? Did God not help them by delivering them? Sure He did. What about Jacob? You remember when Jacob cheated his brother and he ran off trying to escape for his life? He ends up working for his uncle Laban. And his uncle starts cheating him and threatening him. And life was pretty scary for him. And Jacob is trying to escape. The Lord delivered Jacob from that oppression from his uncle Laban. And God will deliver you as well. It goes on to say that He gives food to the hungry. When the children of Israel left Egypt and they're wandering around the wilderness, what did they do? They complained because there was no food, right? What did God do? He gave them manna. What is manna? What is it? That's right, yeah. Manna is what is it? That's what it means. It's like this bread stuff that just appeared on the ground. They'd go and they'd gather it up and they'd make it into bread and food and took care of it. God provided for His people as they wandered through the wilderness. He fed the hungry. In the New Testament, we read about Jesus feeding the 5,000 who were hungry. God provides for His people. He gives food to the hungry. He sets the prisoners free. You remember when Joseph was betrayed by his brothers? I've been teaching the teenagers on Wednesday night about Joseph. The brothers of Joseph were jealous of him and decided they were going to kill him. Instead of killing him, they thought, hey, we can make a few bucks. We'll sell him into slavery. You thought your family was dramatic. You know, hey. I know some siblings this morning who are thinking, hey, this is a good idea. You know, what did you learn at church today, son? I learned how to sell my sister into slavery. No, that's not the lesson here. Joseph's brothers betrayed him, sold him off into slavery. Joseph is accused of a crime while as a slave that he didn't commit. He ends up in jail. And he languishes there for years. Seems to be forgotten. God doesn't forget him. He remembers him. And God puts Joseph in the right position to elevate him to the highest position in Egypt and to be a savior for his family and for many people. He sets the prisoners free. We think about Paul and Silas. As they go and they preach the gospel, and they get arrested and beaten and chained and thrown in jail. And what do they start doing at midnight? Anybody remember the story? What do Paul and Silas do in jail? They're praising God. They're singing. And what does God do at midnight? It's an earthquake and the chains fall off. And they stick around. It's amazing. But God sets the prisoner free. Text goes on to say that He gives sight to the blind. There's this great story in 2 Kings 6 where Elisha has irritated the king of Aram. And so the king of Aram sends his army to put an end to the life of Elisha. Elisha and his servant, they are asleep in the house one day. And early in the morning, the servant looks out the window and he panics because the army has surrounded him. And Elisha, I'm reading into the text here, but I just imagine Elisha kind of making some coffee, scrambling some eggs, and you know the servant's panicking. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? He's like, it's no big deal. And Elisha prays. He says, Lord, open his eyes. And the servant's eyes are opened. And he sees past Aram's army to the armies of heaven filling the hills. His blind eyes were opened. And he saw God's protection there. We read in the New Testament the story of a man named Bartimaeus who'd been blind, who begged for help. And Jesus says, I'll heal you. And he opened his eyes. He gave sight to the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. Elijah, the predecessor to Elisha, faced Ahab and Jezebel and the prophets of Baal and won the day by faith and courage. But afterwards, Jezebel was hunting him and wanting to kill him. And Elijah is depressed and he's running for his life and he's so discouraged and despondent he hides away in the cave and says, just kill me now. And God speaks to him in a still small voice to encourage him and remind him that he's not alone, that the Lord's with him and that he has also reserved 7,000 in Israel who hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. You think about the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, with a crowd of people, stones in hand, ready to put her to death. And Jesus pardons her, and He lifts her up, And he says, I don't condemn you. Now go and sin no more. The Lord lifts up those who are cast down. The Lord watches over the foreigner. Remember the story of Rahab when the Israelites were entering the promised land? She's there and she had heard of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. And she opens her home to protect the spies. And they extend mercy to her. God provided for her, even though she was not part of the covenant community. Because she exercised faith and put her hope in the Lord, she was included. One day Jesus was preaching and teaching, and this woman, a Syrophoenician woman, a woman from the city of Phoenicia in the region of Syria, comes and says, Jesus, please heal my daughter. She's demon-possessed. And Jesus looks at her and says, you're an outsider. I've come to the house of Israel. And I don't throw food to... I don't throw the children's food to dogs. Pretty insulting, right? That's what he says to her. And she says so faithfully, yes, but Lord, even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table. And Jesus laughs. He says, what great faith you have. And he heals the daughter. The Lord cares and watches over the foreigner. He loves and sustains the fatherless and the widow. Ruth and Naomi had faced such heartbreak. Their husbands were dead, and they were living in a time and in a place where to be a widow was to be in a virtually helpless condition. There was almost nothing that they could do. Yet the Lord provided through Boaz to give them food and a home and an heir. The Lord lifted them up. As Jesus is dying on the cross, he looks down at his mother and he provides for her as he tells the disciple to care for his mother in his absence. The Lord cares for, he sustains the fatherless and the widow. You know what? All of these things that we've been looking at here in Psalm 146, these are the weakest of the weak. These are the people who have no help. They are completely helpless. They were without any human hope at all. But God delivered every single one of them. If your hope is in God, He will help you too. And God's help is always on time. Now you might be objecting in your mind, but God hasn't helped me because I still am having this adversity. I still have this trial, this tribulation, this trouble in my life. And that's true. The Lord didn't say that He was going to remove all your problems from your life. Jesus assures us that in this world you will have trouble. But He goes on to say, take heart, I have overcome the world. God always does what's right and always what's good and always what's best. Even if it doesn't seem that way here and now. And the thing that you and I have to remember is that our ultimate deliverance, our ultimate help, is not here and now, but in eternity. God always heals His people. Sometimes He heals in this life, but He always heals in the life to come. He always provides and nourishes His people. Sometimes in this life, but always in the kingdom that will come. God always gives a home and a family to those without one. Sometimes in this world, but always in the world to come. Even if He did provide for you here and now, the provision here and now is temporary. Because the best is yet to come. So is God your help and hope? Do you trust Him with your life? Do you trust Him when you can't see and don't understand? You can. And you should. Because God loves you. He is wise and He is good. And He works all things together for good. For those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So put your faith in Christ and trust the Lord. And when you don't understand, say, Lord, I will continue to trust. and I will not give up on hope. Finally, because God is our help and hope, let us praise Him all of our days. Verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Are you known more for what you complain about or for who you praise? We can be honest about the difficulties, the challenges, the hardships that we face. We can be honest about it. We can say, hey, I'm going through a tough season in my life. I'm emotionally beat down. I'm discouraged. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm in pain. I hurt. We can be honest about that. But through it, can you still praise the Lord who is your help through it all? If you believe Psalm 146, if you have faith in the Lord, you do have hope. He is your help, and you can praise Him. There's a song you've probably heard on the radio. It says, I will praise you in the storm. Can you praise God in the storms of your life? That's how you know if you've really put your trust in the Lord. When things seem rock bottom and nothing is going your way, and you're just at the end of yourself, you know that you have hope in the Lord when, in the midst of hardship, you can still praise Him. We sang a few minutes ago, It Is Well With My Soul. You've probably heard the story behind that hymn. Horatio Spafford, who wrote the hymn, lost his entire family in a shipwreck in the Atlantic. The ship went down and he lost his wife and children. How devastating that would be. As he was making a journey across the Atlantic, the captain notified him when they were in the approximate location of the shipwreck. Spafford wrote the words of the hymn in meditation of all that he'd lost. He could write, It is well with my soul, because his hope was in the Lord, even when everything had fallen apart. That's what it looks like to praise the Lord, even in the hard times. May the Lord give us that kind of faith. May He give us that hope. May He fill our hearts with that kind of praise. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for being worthy of our praise, for being the God who helps us. Give us hope today so that we will not despair. Strengthen those who are weak. Father, this morning I feel like there are those who are like smoldering wicks and bruised reeds. Your word promises that You'll not snuff us out or break us and cast us away, but You will lift us up. Father, for each one who's here today, who's facing a challenge, a burden, a difficulty, a trial, and they're barely hanging on, give them hope. Give them strength. Weeping may last for the night, but we know joy comes in the morning. As we leave this place, may that be our hope. In Jesus' name, amen.